I was raised by three sisters, one a witch, one an assassin, and the third just batshit crazy. By the time I left our home, deep in the Starveling Hills, I'd met the middle one, Tiff, once, but I never told the others. She'd run off or something, and they didn't talk about her much, and maybe it was for that reason that she was my favorite, her ghostly absence having as big an impact on my growing up as the other's larger-than-life presence. When I finally came to live in the hills, carrying my own dead twin in my arms, Tiff was already gone, leaving behind nothing but bad blood and a trunk filled with old clothes from across the ages. Among these were a pair of Roman sandals that fell apart in my hands, some rusted crinolines, a moldy cat of nine tails, some concert t-shirts, and even a notebook from her days at the Blood Temple with the father, bound in the skin of one of her victims, for all I knew. The pages were scribbled in with illegible symbols, which set something humming inside me, convinced me from day one that Auntie Tiff wanted me, and only me, to find her. I was good at finding lost things, Kai always said, and they were good at finding me. In time, Narn, the oldest sister, sent me away to Wellsburg College, 10,000 miles and on the other side of the planet. To the ends of the earth, it may as well have been. I had arrived at the campus just before the start of semester and was soon sick with one of my frequent chest infections. I lay awake in the Tower Village dorm room, feverish and snotty, too ill to go to the first week of classes, forgetting why I was here. The damp pillowcase chafed my cheek. The weary thwack of a campus security pod overhead tangled in the jerky drum of my heart, and I tried to push thoughts of the father's birds away, couldn't help wondering how far I'd really come from all that Narn and her crazy sisters and my sister Kai buried under the bloodwood tree high in the Starveling Hills. I tried not to think. I tried not to ask myself if far would ever be far enough. My pajamas, blue plaid with pink elephants, were damp with sweat. They insistently nudged between my legs. I shifted on the mattress, trying not to think of the downy young shearers who drank at the pub in the nearest town to our hut, a 20-kilometer drive in Narn's truck but worth every pothole. I was 19, and Kai would be too, my better half, as Narn called her, not joking. Narn never joked. Maybe that's why Kai had been her favorite from the beginning, law of opposites or something. My sister, though, always joked, even when she lay in the Blood Temple infirmary, covered with sores, and the father already sharpening his scalpels for the unmaking, even then. The door opened with a click. I squeezed my eyes shut, hoping my roommates Lara and Trudy would leave me alone. Their laughter subsided when they saw me still in bed, but they continued their conversation in whispers, something about an urban myth of a ghost of a fur hunter from the 1800s who crawled out from under the bridge after being pushed to his death by a witch. Yeah, but most old colleges in the slant come with some kind of scary story, Trudy was saying. In a week, they told us, I couldn't resist, partly because in the mostly bedridden week that I'd been in the Tower Village, I'd barely spoken or been spoken to, but also because long before I'd even got here, Narn had versed me in the history of witches' rites. He jumped, I croaked. Probably. They had to blame somebody. Why not witches? Know-it-all, Lara said beneath her breath. No, Kai was the know-it-all. Always had been. My cheeks burned with fever, but there was no stopping me now. Kai always said how just a sniff of threat was enough to make me see red. Witches got the blame for the fur trade drying up in Upper Slant, I continued. People said they poisoned the game. Even after the apology, it wasn't safe for them here. The air in the dorm room was stale. My nose was blocked with congestion, so I drew it in as best as I could through my mouth, watching Trudy dart through the shadows like a bottom feeder through lakeweed. For a moment, the meds and the fever telling me it was Kai, that my twin was not dead after all, and that I was home in the Starvelings, and that the father had not found us as she always said he would. But then Lara flicked on the light, and I blinked into the reality of what I'd lost. Lara moved to check her hair roots in the mirror for telltale regrowth. Like all maids, her hair was coarse and dull, but she'd applied conditioning treatments and lightened it to a chestnut brown, had it cut into a curly bob that suited her. It stinks in here, she said. Anyway, what do you care about myths? I propped myself up on a wobbly elbow. We have enough problems with reality. Lara and Trudy were made on the Blood Temple's mainland property, but the father's synthetic reproductive protocol was the same there as it was in Rogue's Bay, where I was from. Their teeth looked ultraviolet in the blue stippled light from the bridge outside our window. Their forms were limbed in a milky afterglow, which seemed to slow their movements one minute, speed them up the next, silvery jetsam shredding in their wake. Or maybe that was just the meds, too. The counselor in pain clinic said we shouldn't fixate on the past mirror, Trudy shivered mechanically, if we want to belong to the future. I wanted nothing less. Well, we can't fixate on the past, I said. It's not how we're, made. That was something my sister would do, hiding good intentions behind a dark pun, an offhand joke, but I sucked at reading the room. Instead of admiring my cleverness, Trudy's eyes brimmed and she reddened in the shame of our shared congenital amnesia. Myth or not, Lara turned defensively from the mirror, fastening a chain around her wrist from which dangled a rose-gold feather. They've put a curfew out now that semester's started, and the bridge is off limits after 10. Why? To keep us where we belong, Trudy sniffled, especially after dark. They moved around, preparing for the night. Later they would come home smelling of beer, faces bleached in the light of their program-issued phones, and fall asleep immediately. I imagined dreaming of a new tomorrow. What I really felt like was a drink, but before I could ask them to wait while I dressed, Lara reminded me that today, Thursday, was the last day to sign up for our second-choice electives, and that we needed these for credit point requirements to complete our transfer program in the specified time of 18 months. The sooner we complete the program, she said, the sooner we can get out of here. I almost forgot, I said. You did forget. Lara eyed my pile of snotty tissues. And you need to get up now, Mira, or you never will.